This is Wade Rathke with the Chief Organizer's Report on predatory lenders making American nightmares from American dreams. Here's a guest blog by a working class studies blog for working class perspective, shepherded by Professor Sherry Linton of Georgetown University and John Russo, visiting scholar of the Kalman Ubbets Initiative for Labor and Working Poor at Georgetown and formerly of Youngstown State University in Ohio. Yes. Donald Trump is president. He accomplished this upset in part by shattering the working class firewall in longtime Democratic heartland strongholds of Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Ohio. We cannot respond only with resistance. An effective defense in the Rust Belt or anywhere else in the country requires a deeply rooted offense focused on the traditional Democratic working class base, and that requires organizations and organizers who will listen and offer meaningful responses to real pain being felt by so many at the grassroots level. Amid repeated promises from the White House and the Republicans to cut from health care, Medicare, and other elements of the already tattered safety net, there are few issues so stark or so predatory as the credit desert that keeps working families from securing decent and affordable housing. This is a problem the real estate development chief should well understand. Since the 2008 Great Recession, the devastation of foreclosures for individuals and communities has become well known. Less appreciated has been the bank's response. As the subprime market ended, many lenders now demand higher credit scores, larger down payments, and higher minimum loan levels for mortgages. Marginal financial institutions specializing in predatory products moved in, reviving instruments that had largely disappeared from urban home ownership markets with the Home Mortgage Disclosure Act of 1975 and the Community Reinvestment Act of 1977, laws that also sought to end redlining in minority communities. Contract for deed, installment land purchases, rent to own, lease purchase, and other deceptively named transactions lured families into hoping for affordable housing and home ownership into agreements that exploited them instead. Worse, much of the housing stock involved had been acquired from Federal National Mortgage Authority, Fannie Mae, and in auctions of foreclosed properties by hedge funds, Wall Street, and vulture financiers, pyramiding one injury on top of another. Companies like Harbor Portfolio embraced contract sales, while others such as Vision Property Management repurposed thousands of homes using rent-to-own scams. More well-known operators like Goldman Sachs bought more than 26,000 homes to satisfy securitization settlements with the government, while Apollo has specialized in similar flip and trick in Memphis and other cities. The National Consumer Law Center estimates that there are more than 6 million contract buyers in the United States now. More shockingly, more contract sales were recorded in Detroit last year than traditional mortgage transfers. Organizers with ACORN and the Home Savers Campaign have spoken with lower-income working families in Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Youngstown, Akron, Detroit, and cities as diverse as Memphis, Little Rock, and New Orleans. These conversations reveal huge issues that bring this emerging housing crisis into tragic relief and demand action response. The stories are heartbreaking. A Harbor Portfolio buyer spoke to us from her couch where she was recovering from a fall from a faulty stairway in Pittsburgh. In Akron, another Harbor Portfolio purchaser told us about the ceiling in the shower falling on his sister, leaving her unable to work. Vision Property Management family in Pittsburgh told us of moving into a house after signing the papers, only to find it had no plumbing or electricity. They were forced to camp in their house for 6 months. Vision's callous indifference to the deplorable condition of the housing stock meant that one Youngstown family had been forced to move to a second Vision house because their first was ordered demolished by the city. Many of the buyers were on Social Security or veterans payments. Meanwhile, one Harbor buyer was having problems getting the contract in his name, even though the payments were made from his pension. Sadly, this story from Philadelphia is typical, as the organizing team's notes reveal. Maria Rodriguez and her husband purchased a house in the Frankfurt section of Philadelphia for $65,500 almost 5 years ago. They both worked. He is a landscaper, and she worked at a hotel doing housekeeping. They put down $2,000 plus $465 as a monthly lease payment, $105 for real estate taxes, $30 for general liability insurance, or $2,600 as an initial payment, $600 a month. The contract runs until August 2020. Maria and her husband have put about $25,000 into property because of huge issues like unpaid water bills, no heating or electrical system. They believed at the end of the contract in 2020 they would own the property and get the deed. Instead, they will have paid $6,793 towards the $65,000 house price. On August 30th, 2020, they have three options: give Vision a check for $58,206, walk away, or convert to seller financing with a new contract for the remaining $58,000. Like all the Vision properties, people we talked to, this was a total surprise. At the end of our business with working families, we often left people enraged by anger, salt, and tears. Laws to protect would-be buyers vary state to state, and many are weak. Are these buyers tenants, or are they owners without a deed? Many cannot connect utilities or get contractors to work on their houses because of the confusion. Although contracts are required to be filed, they usually are not. In Green Bay, Wisconsin, Vision whistleblowers told television reporters that they were instructed not to pay sales tax or transfer fees. City of Cincinnati sued Harbor for $335,000 among collected fees and penalties. Some cities have taken action. Toledo passed an ordinance requiring contract sellers to obtain a certificate of occupancy and habitability before a contract was executed and a potential buyer allowed to move into the property. Lorain, Ohio required the same, but only at the point of sale, which sadly may never happen. In Pennsylvania, lawyers believe there is an implied warrant of habitability that should force sellers to make repairs before occupancy. Other lawyers argue that none of these agreements can be valid contracts because their terms are unconscionable on their face. The Uniform Code Commission is debating offering state legislators a model law to clarify some of the mayhem. As the Home Savers Campaign and partner organizations get their arms around this issue, one thing is clear. These contracts are misrepresented and rarely understood by working families desperate to obtain affordable and decent housing with the opportunity of home ownership. Millions of families are now caught in this dilemma. For them, the American dream turns out to be an American nightmare. As our campaign against these predatory practices gains traction and the raw exploitation involved becomes even clearer, and as more working families demand justice, it will be harder for anyone or anybody to deny the exploitation at the root of these transactions. Real estate is perhaps one thing that President Trump does understand. The fight needs to move from these houses to the White House. This is Wade Rathke. For questions or comments, www.chieforganizer.org. You take it from here to there.